Today's gospel lesson comes from the 15th chapter of John, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Last week, Alicia encouraged the big kids, all of us big kids, to keep track of how many times shepherd was mentioned in the sermon and the service. Today, the word can be abide. So you'll have to start with scripture lesson and work your way up to the sermon this morning. Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. We all have a need to stay connected. Last week, while digging in the parsonage landscaping, my shovel uncovered a small rectangular object. I assumed it was just another rock, so I shoveled it into the ever-growing pile of dirt. Well, curiosity got the best of me, so I stopped working to investigate to see what it was. It turned out to be what I thought was someone else's cell phone. What would a cell phone be doing in the parsonage landscaping, I thought to myself. And just then, it began to vibrate, so I answered it and quickly discovered that it was my own. Maybe I should leave my phone in the house while working out in the yard. Yeah. We have a need to stay connected, but it's not always that easy. It's interesting to notice how often people are talking on their cell phones or texting or emailing, especially when they are behind the wheel or sitting in the midst of worship. I know. In just a decade or so, due to our obsession of wanting to stay connected, cell phones have gone from a curiosity to a luxury to what seems like a necessity. And now, if you want to, you can even wear one as a watch. I don't get it. I can barely see the numbers on my watch anyway. The letters would have to be so big for me to see what was going on. Cell phones were often purchased in the first place for safety. Do you remember that? When you first rationalized that you needed one, right? What if you were out on the road and had an accident? And now they are a vital part of our lives. Almost everyone has one. Being connected is important not only in telecommunications and over the internet. It is important in life. Branches have to stay connected to their source of life, or they will die. Plants need the nourishment of the rich, life-giving soil, or they will wither away. Jesus used this basic fact of nature to make a point for us. As followers of Christ, we too have to stay connected to our source of life. We are to abide in Christ, to stay connected to God and to those things that give us life. And Jesus uses the image of a vine to tell us what God is like. Our very lives depend on being connected and interconnected. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and we will bear fruit as we abide in him. It seems so simple, so basic. Abide in Christ, stay connected to the vine, and we will live. We will bear fruit. But somehow it's not always that easy. It can be difficult because there are so many distractions in our lives. Relationships can become so complex. It's easy to become disconnected. Sometimes we can even become detached without even realizing it. Abiding or staying connected to Christ can be difficult. It can be difficult for us because, among other things, we have a tendency to confuse what it means to stay connected with following the rules that are placed before us. That somehow keeping the right rules will keep us in favor and keep us connected. If we simply follow the instructions step by step, it will somehow lead us to this life-giving relationship. As parents and caring adults, we have rules for our children and teenagers because they need them. But the rules are not the extent of the relationship. There are plenty of rules, right? Look both ways before you cross the street. Clean up your toys. Don't forget to call if you're going to be late. And wear clean underwear. What if you were in an accident? That was one of my mother's favorites. But these rules are not in and of themselves the gifts that our parents give to us. One would hope that they would also give to us their unconditional love and support. Rules are intended to help us, to guide us. But the real gift, what really matters, is the relationship. We also sometimes confuse what it means to stay connected to Christ with our roles and responsibilities. The roles and responsibilities upon which we've been asked to take on, or that are placed before us, that somehow if we perform the tasks that are set before us, we will stay connected. In a family, family members are sometimes assigned different responsibilities, doing the laundry or taking out trash or washing dishes or paying bills. But those responsibilities don't define the family. Family is about belonging and about caring and about supporting one another. Rules and even responsibilities placed before us may help us to facilitate the formation and the maintenance of relationships, but they are not the relationship. What then does it mean? What does it mean to stay connected, to abide in Christ? The answer lies in our definition of the Christian faith. For us, the Christian faith is simply not a philosophy of life, nor is it a set of lofty ideals, nor even a moral code for us to look up. It's not, at its best, a list of rules, or even devoting ourselves to certain tasks and practices. At its most basic level, our faith is about abiding in and with Christ. It's about relationship. It's about following Christ. We confuse rules with relationships. We worry about what we are doing and how well we are doing it, rather than focusing on what we really are. Children of God who are loved and accepted without having to earn it. Or we worry about what others are doing or not doing. We worry about the differences that separate us, rather than focusing on who they really are. Children of God who are also loved and accepted regardless. We are reminded of that when we stay connected to Christ. One of the important ways that we stay connected to Christ is through the community of faith, the church. I've yet to see a tree with only a single branch, unless it's one that I've pruned. A healthy tree has a lot of branches. However, the notion that we can stay close to Christ all by ourselves without community is pretty common. It's often found in those who say they are spiritual but not religious. This idea of being with Christ all by ourselves without a community, it may be common, but it's not Christian. Following Christ leads us to others. Helena Cronin is a philosopher and social scientist at the London School of Economics. She wrote an engaging article titled "Only the Pronoid Survive." She talks about two words in that article, paranoid and pronoid. Whereas paranoid means being fearful of others, pronoid means trusting others, seeing the basis of life not as competitive, but rather as cooperative. Whereas the paranoid see others out to get them or to change them, the pronoid see others out to love them or at least appreciate them. Cronin claims that Darwin has been misunderstood. The survival of the fittest doesn't mean the survival of the meanest or the craftiest or the strongest. She argues that the real fittest are those that are most generous. The survival actually hinges on the willingness to do things for others and trusting that they will do things for you. She points out that Darwin's own fieldwork is full of examples of animals giving up time, food, their mates, and even their own lives for the sake of others. Cronin writes, it actually turns out that you can prosper more by entering into relationships of reciprocation so that both are getting more than either of you would have gotten separately. Kind of sounds like our connectional nature of our church. Doing what is immediately good for oneself has been understood by Darwinists for a long time. But what hasn't been understood until recently is that you can actually do better for yourself by being cooperative and altruistic than you can be by selfishly refusing to cooperate with others. It's not that you do as well. You actually do better. And all do better than you had gone, than if you had gone on by yourself and refused to help others. The more you give away, the more you have. Cronin concludes, altruism has been hardwired into us. It's right there in our genes. We have a propensity for altruism, for wanting to give, for forgiving. And simple things like neighborliness can create a sense of safety. So does abiding in Christ make us pronoid or paranoid? Jesus' image of the vine and the branches evokes community. It's often hard to tell where one branch ends and another begins. They intertwine and they intermingle. Jesus is saying that we are all interconnected because we're connected to the same vine. We are connected inseparably to one another. Each of us have been created in the image of God. We bear fruit by loving one another, by trusting and being trustworthy, by being generous and giving and forgiving. Abiding in Jesus means that faith is about relationship more than rules and regulations. It means that we are connected not only to Christ, but also to the community of faith. Richard Fairchild relates the story of a former minister at Metropolitan United Church in London. After this pastor had been at the church several years, he met a member of his church whom he had never met before while he was in the parking lot one day. The parking lot was rather small, and during the week, many people tried to park there to avoid paying expensive parking fees at the downtown lots. And the minister's spot was clearly marked by a sign. One day, as he drove into the parking lot to park his car, another car pulled into his spot just before him, and a woman got out. He rolled down his window and asked her to move her car. She said to him, "Who are you? I can park here if I want. I'm a member here." And the minister said we could use it when he was not around. With that, she walked off. Thinking afterwards about what had happened, the minister came to the conclusion that on the membership roll of the church, there needed to be a new classification in addition to that of full member and preparatory member. He suggested it be called PPO, Parking Privileges Only. The woman had cut herself off from the community of faith. She may have been connected on the books, but life doesn't flow through the books. It flows through the vine. I think we all know what it is to be connected and how important it is for us to be connected at a deeper level and how important those connections of community are in our lives. Sam Rayburn was Speaker of the House a number of years ago. When he discovered that he was very ill, and in fact only had a short time to live, he surprised his colleagues in Congress by announcing that he was going home to Bonham, Texas. Why go to such a not even on the map kind of place for medical tests and treatment when the best medical facilities in the world are available right here in Washington? His friends asked him. He answered, Bonham, Texas is a place. It's a place where people know it if, when you're sick, and they care when you die. When push came to shove, he wanted to be connected to his roots with a community of people who really knew him, who loved him, and cared for him. Those connections that we create are important. We all have a need to be connected. Just as the branches are connected to the vine, we are connected to Jesus and through Christ, connected to each other. And when we are connected, Christ assures us that we will bear much fruit. And just if the ministers in the room are wondering why I've skipped part of the text, I haven't. Jesus goes a bit further with the vine and the branches metaphor and talks about pruning. Staying connected, abiding in Christ, being part of the faith community, all of these things sound good. But pruning sounds painful. And sometimes it is. Yet gardeners know that pruning is necessary. The one way to keep blooms on a plant is to deadhead them. But what kind of pruning takes place in our lives, especially when we see ourselves connected to Christ? Those things that need to be pruned are those things that prevent the life of Christ to flow freely through us. This might include prejudices, or anger, or grudges, and the unwillingness to forgive others. This might include excess or addictions. This might include greed and selfishness and pride. We might need to be pruned of our need to control, and of the arguments that we can get over, get on. Arguments that we can get into over theology or doctrine or social issues and just trying to figure out who is right. All of this sounds difficult. And it is. And yet, it is not all our work. Vines do not prune themselves. Gardener does. The metaphor breaks down if we press it too literally, but there's a sense in which we do not have to do a lot of pruning. Friends, when we are connected to Christ, these things happen naturally. Not always quickly, but slowly and surely. If we are truly connected to Christ, we will begin to see something of God in each person. Our prejudices and our grudges begin to fall away. When we are connected to Christ, our need to be in control and our need to be right start to diminish. And we can let others be who they are. And we can be who we are. When we are connected to Christ, our concern for self lessens, and our concern for others grow. It's not to say that things come easily. But the more we are connected to Christ, the stronger our connections with God's people, the more we will want to let go of the things that keep us from growing and bearing fruit. And what is it? What is the fruit that we are to bear? Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May it be so.